So here we are, new month. Yay, July is here. July, new month, new theme. Did you get your Science of Mind magazine? We have them in the bookstore. Okay, new month, new theme. Free to be whole. What the hell does that mean? Not sure. Not sure what the magazine intended by that one. Free to be whole? Okay. Freedom is a quality of God. We are that. It's already flowing through us. We are that. The nature of spirit is freedom. We are made in the image and after the likeness. We are created from the Creator itself. So freedom is a quality of God. Obviously, we are freedom, okay? So free to be whole. Like we can be anything else but whole. Wholeness is a quality of God also, yes? Wholeness is a quality of God. So we are, it's right up there on our list. You know, so we are that. Spirit has sought to incarnate itself in form, in all of these different forms. Every single one of them is wholeness itself, because spirit imbues all of its qualities into its creations. So we are wholeness itself expressing. We may not be conscious of our freedom. We may not be conscious of our wholeness. But we are both freedom and we are wholeness. And they demonstrate through us to the extent that we become aware of these qualities as us, that we align with these qualities as truth, and that we allow them to flow through us into conditions around us, into manifestation in our lives, right? So today's talk is I am freedom. Because that's what we are. We are the essence of freedom. We are freedom itself. And I think it's kind of an appropriate talk title, considering we're coming up on Independence Day. Yes, July 4th. Spiritual quality called freedom. Yay, 4th of July. Now let us understand, we don't get freedom. We don't have it bestowed upon us. We are already freedom. The fact that we have taken form, and freedom is a quality of God, it is inherent in us. We are just an outpicturing of that, like we are an outpicturing of all of those qualities. Everything is in us, and that's where the wholeness is, right? The wholeness is we have come with everything within us. We say what? Whole, perfect, and complete, right? Whole, perfect, and complete. That means the wholeness is already within us. We may not be conscious to it. We may have to awaken to it. But we have come with all the ingredients. There's nothing lacking. Because it is a quality of God, it is a quality of us. It can't be anything other than that. And in fact, we have it in abundance, don't we? And that's another quality of God. Abundance. There it is. Okay, so we have all of that stuff, and we demonstrate a little bit of it. Or we demonstrate a lot of it. And it just depends upon our awakening to it, awakening to those qualities within us and demonstrating them in the world. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, if you want to eliminate thoughts of limitation, you must recognize that they have to be eliminated only about yourself. They have to be eliminated in our own consciousness. And this is what we talk about when we talk about teaching practitioners, right? You have to train your own mind. This is about your own consciousness. So Ernest Holmes goes on to say, there is a universal principle that does the rest. You are in mind just like a point in a circle. You are constantly thinking into this universal mind. This is the principle of all life. So when we eliminate thoughts of lack and limitation, we have to eliminate them in our own minds, right? So we are freedom, even in those times when it's not demonstrating in the conditions around us. You know, in his last message to America on June 24th, 1826, this was 10 days before he died, on July 4th, Thomas Jefferson declined an invitation to Washington for the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. And he wrote this. He wrote, all eyes are opened or opening to the rights of man. The general spread of the light of science has already laid open to every view The palpable truth that the mass of mankind has not been born with saddles on their backs, nor the favored few booted and spurred ready to ride them. So he clearly understood, at least toward the end of his life, that his previous position on slavery was wrong. And I'm sure he understood it for many, many years of his adult life. But he did not free his slaves, as President Washington did. He didn't even make provisions for their freedom after his death. Well, except for those two sons he had with Sally Hemings. The document, the Constitution, was clearly a foundation. It was a piece in the process of forming a new country. It wasn't the whole thing. It was a piece in the process. Were it not, why would we have all the amendments? Right? Because it is an evolutionary process. The document had to keep evolving. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those were Jefferson's words. He wrote that. But apparently it only applied to white men, or at least white landholding men, landowners. It didn't apply to white indentured men or women, especially not women, or slaves, or indigenous Americans, just a certain group. And now I read a lot about that time period and how much we have to understand that these people were a product of their time. We have to keep it historically accurate. They are a product of their time in which they lived, blah, blah, blah. They can't be held accountable for the beliefs of their times, blah, blah, blah. But I got to tell you, John Adams was a product of the same time, was he not? And he vehemently opposed slavery. In fact, he said this, "My opinion against it has always been known. Never in my life did I own a slave." So, we excuse people then because they were a product of their time. And if you hear people talk, we excuse people now, don't we? You know, the uncle that comes for Thanksgiving or whatever, whatever, right? We do. Oh, you know, they have to, don't pay attention, you know, blah, blah, blah. They're a product of their time. They're a product of, you know, the way they were raised. Here's what I know. Here's what I know. We live in the 21st century. We are all grown up. We're from the 20th into the 21st. We learned a lot of stuff. We learned how to use cell phones, didn't we? We learned how to use computers. We learned how to access the internet. We could damn well learn how not to be racist. My opinion. So freedom. Clearly, those slaves could envision freedom. They knew freedom. We are born knowing who we are. They could envision freedom. They could intend freedom. They could pray freedom. They could affirm freedom all day long, but the demonstration would not occur until the evolutionary effects of human race consciousness took place. This is like Ernest Holmes used to say, you know, electricity has always been electricity, but, you know, but Moses couldn't invent the light bulb. It wasn't in their consciousness. The principle of electricity still existed back then, but the consciousness of humanity had not advanced to that point. So these things demonstrate only with human collective consciousness. You know, and Maya Angelou said this, she said, if you don't like something, change it. And if you can't change it, change your attitude. And that's what was done. You know, and sometimes that is our only option in the moment, isn't it? To change our mind about the condition. We have to hold the highest truth that we can embody, even when conditions around us look less than that. This is that not judging not by appearances. We have to hold the highest truth, even if it's not looking like it's demonstrating. We still have to align ourselves with these higher truths, with these eternal truths, even though they look like they're not out picturing. Sometimes that's our only option, is to just continue to hold the truth, even if everything is showing up contrary to that. Ernest Holmes in Love and Law said, "The only thing which binds us is the thing that frees us. Bondage is freedom. Love and hate are one attitude. Faith and fear are the same attitude. There is one mind. There is one mental mind. There are only different ways of using it that cause it to be manifested." So we are that quality of God called freedom. We are free to demonstrate that quality to the extent that we are able to in our condition, in the condition in which we find ourselves. And sometimes that condition looks bleak and horrific. And we have to stand in the truth. We have to stand in the truth. We have to stand in the truth regardless until the truth is revealed. That's what we know as religious science. That's what we know. We stand in the truth of these qualities of God regardless of the conditions until the conditions change to reflect that consciousness. Ernest Holmes in his Sermon by the Sea, you remember, he said, we are a group of people that are for something and against nothing. Do you remember that? And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about standing in the truth, those truths, those qualities, standing in those regardless of the conditions. When we are, there's a good reason for that, right? There is a good reason for that. When we are immersed in the truth, we know that that outpictures. We know that it demonstrates. We know that as we resonate to the truth, that is the energetic, that is the vibrational energy that we are in, that we immerse ourselves in. And then that eventually has to outpicture. It has to. That's the law, right? That's what Ernest Holmes said. We know these things to be truth. We stand in it. We resonate it. We resonate in the energy of truth. And then conditions begin to change, to outpicture, to reflect that. If we are immersed in the energy of hate or despair or anger, we generate more of that, right? You infuse everything with the energy in which you do it. So we attract into our experience from our level of consciousness, from the level of that vibration or that frequency. Resonate with hate and experience more things to hate. What we must do, I mean, this is law of attraction stuff. This is law of attraction 101, right? What we must do is do things in love. We have to stand in the truth of our being. We have to stand in the truth of our belief. We have to stand in the truth of these qualities which are God. We must do in love whatever we choose to do. And by doing that, we become that. We demonstrate more of it. We don't become it, we already are it. We allow it to flow into our conditions. Viktor Frankl, the man who wrote Man's Search for Meaning, said, "The one thing you can't take away from me is the way I choose to respond to what you do to me. The last of one's freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given circumstance." And so it is up to us as religious scientists to know the truth, regardless of condition, regardless of what's happening in the moment, regardless of the outpicturing, because we know the outpicturing is a result of consciousness. Everything begins in consciousness, and the last place you see it is in the manifestation, is the physical form. That's the last link in the chain of manifestation. So everything begins in consciousness. And so we must hold to the truth which frees, the truth which frees us, even if conditions have not caught up with it yet. Ernest Holmes in Lessons in Spiritual Mind Healing said this, "My hope of freedom lies not in believing that there is a reality and an illusion, but rather in staying close to reality and in thinking about those things I wish to experience rather than the opposite. Spirit as absolute cause And the material and the physical universe as effect do not contradict each other. We get caught up in the illusion. We get caught up in the condition, thinking it's reality. And here's what I know. Forgiveness is the key to shifting a lot of times our emotional state, our mental state, from getting caught up in the effect to standing in cause. When we actively forgive, we are empowered to stand in our truth instead of that disempowering anger that our resentments and our grievances cause. Does that make sense? We are way more empowered when we stand in the truth rather than getting caught up in the conditions and getting all angry and disturbed and sweaty and yelling. And now I've done my share of that. However, it's about going back to principle. It's about always going back to principle. Forgiveness works. Honestly, forgiveness works, even when it's you that need the forgiving. Forgiveness works. Even when it's forgiveness for things that haven't happened to you directly. The practice of forgiveness works even in times like these, when we're looking out on a world that apparently does not look like it's working for everyone. You know, in spite of what CSL says. We envision a world that works for everyone. Yeah, it doesn't look like it's working for everyone right now. But we hold to the truth. We continue to hold to those qualities. We are all whole. We are all free. We are all love. We are all joy. And when we're seeing something less than that, when we're getting caught up in the conditions and we're thinking that it's us and them and we're thinking it's people we have to fight and we think it's things we have to defend, we're already fallen into the illusion. We've already fallen into the condition. The practice of forgiveness works in times like these. Even when it's not affecting us personally, even when we are not being affected, we see injustice in the world. And we want to blame people, don't we? We want to point fingers, and we want to be angry, and we want to get all that negative energy out. But all that negative energy does is it locks us into the condition. Does that make sense? It does. It does. So we practice forgiveness, but we don't want to practice it right away, right? We'd like them to suffer a little first. Because we do want to blame, and we do want to point fingers, and we do want people to pay, whatever the heck that means. Because we forget that there is only one life, that life is God's life, that life is perfect, that life is my life now. We forget that all life is some part of the life of God, because those people are not agreeing with us. So we practice forgiveness. We practice forgiveness anyway, even for things that are not affecting us directly. We practice forgiveness. So why? So that when we proceed to do whatever we choose to do, you want to write letters? Write letters. You want to call your congressman? Call your congressman. You want to march down at the border? March down at the border, but do it in love. Do it in love. Do it in unity. Do it in wholeness. Do it in freedom, not in anger and not in despair and not in violence, to see the difference. Because the energy around you supports the truth of who you are. The energy around us will support us, and we will dwell in that energy, and that's the energy, again, going back to Science of Mind 101, law of attraction, right? When we stand in our truth, when we stand in our love, when we stand in our joy, when we do what we do in those qualities, we demonstrate more of it around us. And so this practice of forgiveness is a whole and healing practice, even if we are not the ones that have been offended. Even if it's not personal, we know the practice of, you know what I love doing? It's like forgiveness work, but it's not really forgiveness work. It's like pre-giveness work. Does that make sense? You know, you can do the forgiveness work even if nothing has happened. You know what I mean? So it's like pre-giveness. You do the work of knowing the wholeness in all people, in all situations, regardless of the conditions. Again, this goes back to speak from the truth. Don't get caught up in the condition. Don't get caught up in the condition. It's forgiving whatever's going on. You know, when we're in, sometimes in prac class, we'll do this practice. You know, it's like, oh, God, stay away from the TV, stay away from the news, stay away from the... But if you do listen to the news, what do? We tell our prac students, you listen to what's on the news, and you say, I bless this, and I accept this. I bless this, and I accept this. And that's very much like what pre-giveness is all about. I don't seem to understand why this is happening, but I can bless everyone around it. And when I'm doing that, I am standing in the potential healing for all involved. I get to stand in the potential. I get to stand in the best possible outcome. Look, I don't know how it comes out, but I know it all comes out okay. So when we are doing pre-giveness work, we are knowing this divine outcome, even if we don't know what it is, we know it is the best possible outcome while we stand witness to events unfolding. That's curative. That's healing. Not getting caught up in the condition, but knowing the truth as we walk our walk. And as we do things on the spiritual path, as we do things in the physical world from a spiritual perspective, we bring healing to it. We bring love to it. We bring that sense of oneness and wholeness to it, to everything that we do. Because we stand in the truth. We know those qualities are qualities that are eternal and that are in us. And as we know it more and more, we change the world or our little section of it. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, we are all bound, tied hand and foot by our freedom. Our free will binds us. But as free will enables us to create the conditions which externally limit us, so it can uncreate or dissolve them. And that's what I'm talking about. He goes on to say this. It is not enough to say we attract what we think. We become what we think. It's so important. And what we become, we attract more of. Through an inherent law of mind, we increase whatever we praise. Praise yourself from weakness to strength, from ignorance to intelligence, from poverty into abundance. Such is the power of right thinking that it cancels and erases everything unlike itself. That is our job as religious science. That's our job in the world, to stand in the truth regardless of conditions, to know peace in the midst of chaos, to know love in the midst of fear and hate and disenfranchisement. To know power in the midst of all of this, these events that look contrary to that. Let us stand in our wholeness. This is our month. Stand in our wholeness and know the truth, not only for ourselves, but for all life everywhere. All life everywhere. And then that truth reveals not only our freedom, but freedom for everyone. Thank you.